This is American Roots. Alan Lomax was the man who recorded the world, according to his biographer John Swed. He was known for presenting traditional music on radio and records with Jelly Roll Morton, Woody Guthrie, Lead Belly, Cowboys, Convicts, Children's Games, and global sounds from Haiti to Spain, Italy to the Bahamas. In 1990, I spoke with Alan Lomax at his New York City Archives and Center for Cultural Equity. I asked him about presenting traditional music at Carnegie Hall in 1959.
I was shocked to find out that the kids here thought that folk music began and ended in Washington Square, where they gave their Sunday weekend hootenannies and things. So I decided to show them what America was really like, what urban folk music really was. And I put together this concert consisting entirely of urban material. What was called Folk Song 59. And I brought in to New York for the first time bluegrass and gospel and rock. Jimmy Driftwood had never been heard. And that concert was total sellout. People were practically storming the hall. I brought everybody a day ahead of time so that they had a chance to rehearse and get a feeling for each other. And incredible things happened backstage when they met each other and began to get to know each other between those star musicians. I had the Stony Mountain Boys from Baltimore. I had to guarantee that the banjo picker would go back to Baltimore because he owed alimony to three different women. And the Stony Mountain Boys were at that time the hottest bluegrass outfit in the United States. And they opened the concert. They'd never seen such a big stage, so they took a long-running start and skidded to the microphone. And the kids, who were mostly Peter Seeger's audience, Peter was on the show too, and Mike, they were very astounded at this.
McKinney, hollering McKinney, squad. Doc said, McKinney, I can't find the gold. You're bound to die, bound to die.
I had a little rock group from Detroit of girls, and in a way they were the most genuine folk people in the group, because when they were going to sing a song, they would sing the pitch in each other's ear until they got the chord right. And then they would improvise. They'd come right out of a church, and they wore little shorty nightgowns when they came on stage. And the Folknik kids were shocked and booed them.
Alan Lomax worked closely with the young folk revivalists and activists like Pete Seeger while acknowledging a difference in their approaches.
There was always a sort of a difference between Peter Seeger and myself in this whole thing. Peter looked at folk music as something to bring everybody in, no matter whether they could sing or play in tune or anything like that. And I didn't like this. I didn't agree that this was the only tactic or should be the main tactic, since I knew that there were all those tremendous artists out there who played perfectly, and this was a kind of, and sang beautifully and with great style, and that this was sort of a violation of the very high standards of folk music to have it performed as if it was some sort of something for summer camp, amateur night. And for Peter, it was a way of involving America. I thought it was about evolving the working class artists of America in a sense. Peter was looking just to get everybody singing. And for me, it was more like a cultural movement.
Do everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season turn, turn, turn. And a time for every purpose under heaven.
Pete Seeger and the crowd singing from the Old Testament at Carnegie Hall on the song Turn, Turn, Turn at the concert Folk Song 59. I had a chance to talk to the late Pete Seeger in New York in 2003, and he reflected on his life in music and his relationship to Alan Lomax.
My father met him. He was working at first for the WPA Music Project, and they became close friends. My father was 15, Alan was in his early 20s. He was almost like a son to my father.
When did you first meet Alan, and what capacity?
I met him actually in person when my father took me to Asheville Mountain Dance Festival, Asheville, North Carolina, in the summer of 36, I believe. And then later on in Washington, I found myself accompanying Alan in little parties where we'd sit around singing.
It was back in 1942, I was a member of a good platoon. We were on maneuvers in Louisiana one night by the light of the moon. The captain told us to ford a river, that's how it all begun. We were knee-deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on.
Would it be fair to say that you and Alan, while collaborating in many ways on shows and in the world of folk, that at some level, though, you represented sort of different directions?
Well, Alan felt it was important to try and classify things, and I suppose scientists and historians all try to do this, but you have to laugh at our inevitable failures. I go along with my father, who said, just laugh at the different meanings of the word folk music. He was my great teacher as a child and as a teenager, and went into academia. And when World War I came along, he was making speeches against imperialist war and got fired. Then he told my mother, who was a very good violinist, let's take our good music, Bach, Beethoven, and Brahms, out to the people instead of just playing for rich people in the city. And they got down to Pinehurst, North Carolina, were woken up one morning by a group of somber-faced white farmers with guns. They said, we don't want no gypsies around here. My father, in his New England accent, said, we're not gypsies, we're musicians. You're what? They ended up spending the winter in the backyard of the Mackenzie family. And one evening they took their, quote, good music up to the Mackenzie's farmhouse. And the Mackenzie said, oh, that's very nice. We play a little music, too. And they took down banjos and fiddles and fiddled up a storm. And years later, my father said to me, for the first time, I realized the people had a lot of good music. They didn't need my good music as much as I thought.
Get that phantom out of here, Bill.
Was there anything you ever tried to convince Alan Lomax of that you don't?
No, I think I learned most from Alan. I don't think I taught him much. I remember him coming up, and we were making up songs and singing. He was in, Alan said, do you realize you're showing the whole country the way in which you can introduce folk songs from the broad America to people in a big city? There we were singing cowboy songs and outlaw songs and coal miner songs to audiences in New York.
This is the Almanacs.
Yeah, Almanac Singers, we called ourselves in 1941. It was later that year that Woody joined us, and still later, Bess Hawes and Sis Cunningham joined us.
There once was a union maid, she never was afraid of goons and ginks and company finks and the deputy sheriffs who made the raid. She went to the union hall when a meeting it was called, and when the legion boys come around, she always stood her ground.
Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the union, I'm sticking to the union, I'm sticking to the union. Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the union, I'm sticking to the union.
There's never been a country, I don't think, which has had such a broad range of citizens finding ways to live together.
Harry, good night. Harry, good night. Good night.
Will there continue in your mind to be a role for music in helping shape culture for the better?
Oh, I'm convinced that music can leap the language barriers and leap barriers of religion and politics and bring people together who never thought they'd be together. When I get an audience singing, this encourages me because I think of somebody on my right who's singing along and somebody on my left who's singing along, and perhaps the great-great-grandfathers of these people were trying to kill each other.
Once more. Speaking with the late Pete Seeger, we recorded Pete, Arlo Guthrie, and friends at an Alan Lomax Memorial Concert, a song first recorded by Leadbelly and later a hit for the Weavers, Good Night, Irene. African-American music, blues, gospel, ring shouts, work songs, were all part of the folk revival, especially in New York City, where Josh White, Sonny Terry, and Brownie McGee, and others recorded and performed. The most emblematic early figure was Leadbelly, a blues songster on 12-string guitar from Mooringsport, Louisiana, who'd famously been released from prison in Texas and Louisiana with lobbying from John and Alan Lomax. A huge source of black traditions, Leadbelly served for a time as the Lomax's driver for field work in the South. The relationship was not without controversy. But what we recall of Leadbelly was his voice, guitar, and outlook. From 1940, Good Morning Blues on American Roots.
Good morning, blues. Blues, how do you do? Good morning, blues. Blues, how do you do? I'm doing all right. Good morning, how are you? I lay down last night, turning from side to side. Yes, I was turning from side to side. I was not sick, but I was just dissatisfied. When I got up this morning, blues walking round my bed. I went to eat my breakfast, the blues was all in my bread. I sent for you, yes, city baby, yeah, you come a walking today. Yeah, yeah, you come a walking today. Got your mouth wide open, you don't know what to say.
Over this land, I've had a song sing it in the morning. I sing it in the evening time, all over this land. Sing out danger, I sing out a warning. I sing out love between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land. Now I got a bell, gonna ring it in the morning, ring it in the evening time, all over this land. Gonna ring out danger, gonna ring out warning, yeah. Gonna ring out love between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land. And I got a bell to ring all over this land. Gonna ring out danger, I'm gonna ring out warning. Gonna ring out love between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land.
Pete Seeger's iconic rallying song, If I Had a Hammer, in gospel style by Toussaint McCall from Shreveport, Louisiana, right near where Lead Belly came up. Toussaint McCall is best known for the hit, Nothing Takes the Place of You. We'll be back on the folk scene in Boston in our interview and performance with the leader of the Jim Queskin Jug Band when American Roots returns.